And good afternoon and welcome to Lambda Weekly. I'm Dave Taffet and I'm here in the studio with Laurent Landis and the late Patty Fink. Our guests today are Karen McLaughlin and Steve Atkinson. Karen, you may remember, is a former station manager here at KNON if you listened back in 1983. And Steve, if you know Steve's name, he's former president of Dallas Gay and Lesbian Alliance. They went to church today, and that's what we're going to talk about. Before we do, I just want to give a little explanation. We were suddenly knocked off the air last week, about a quarter after 1:20, after 1, something like that. Everybody said, yeah, I broke the station. I didn't break the station. What happened was it was a phone line problem, and it took somebody physically going down to the tower, unplugging the internet cable and plugging it into the broadcast until AT&T could fix it during the week. Then somebody had to go back down to the tower again, unplug one, put it back into place. But so we were off the air a few hours, but we really didn't break the station. If you want to hear the rest of last week's show, because Laurent was doing the interview while Josh and I were on the phone with the engineer and trying to fix the station that we broke. We have the whole show, and it's online. You can either go to our Facebook page or just go to YouTube and just search Lambda Weekly, and you'll find it. Because Doc was home and recorded it off the internet, not off the broadcast. Karen and Steve went to church. Now, here's what happened. I want to make it clear, we don't really care what goes on inside a church. We don't care what a preacher says to his congregation. They can believe whatever they want to believe, but when they start hurting people outside of their church, that's when we worry. Here's the problem, and here's an example of how it already hurt somebody. Karen, a friend of yours I spoke to, and she lives in Midlothian and received a postcard that said the war on Christianity exposing the LGBT agenda, January 8th at 10 a.m. And that's the service today that you went to, Patty, you went to it.
No, I just listened online.
Oh, you just listened online.
I watched the live stream.
Ah, okay.
Steve and Karen went down there and sat pretty up close.
Powered around.
Yeah.
There was a buffer zone of no one all the way around us.
Yeah, well, who'd want to sit next to the two of you? Shady characters. But what was worrying, she said, you know, I got this. But it's not just that I got it, all my neighbors got it. She said, you know, we're a lesbian couple, we've never hidden who we are, but we don't make a big deal about it, because she said the only thing we're plotting is to be yard of the month. You know, that's their gay agenda. But she said, she called me back later in the week and she said, you know, we went to the supermarket today. And I felt like people were looking at us. And then she thought, well, is this just being paranoid? No, it's not being paranoid. Everybody in this city got that postcard about the gay agenda and our war on Christianity. That's where it's dangerous. When it starts planting ideas in people's minds and people are looking at their neighbors suspiciously. So Karen decided to go down to the church, not to protest, not to make a big deal about it, but just to listen to what he said. And that's where I got from you, Karen.
Right. And this was not, I'll tell you what it was not first. What it wasn't is the type of sermon that we saw from the preacher in Fort Worth, where our group went to protest last summer, who said that the victims of the Pulse shootings deserved it because they were LGBT. This was not that. This is a very different, insidious kind of message that we are seeing so frequently now. And what it boils down to really is love the sinner, hate the sin, which that message is in some ways worse than those who stand in direct opposition to us.
But I didn't think it really was that message. What his message, I thought, was a big political speech saying that prior to a Supreme Court decision in 1962 to remove prayer from school, America was fine. Our decline as a nation, according to this guy, began in 1962 with that Supreme Court decision, all the way up through No Ten Commandments in schools and on, properties, and then Roe v. Wade, and then culminating with Obergefell in 2015. And that's what he said was a decline of America, and he wants to go back to the time before, like pre-1962. That was what I heard.
Well, yeah, he spent a lot of...
It's a political thing.
He spent a lot of his time talking about the propaganda that our side of the equation does, and outlining this war on people who, and more than calling it a war on Christianity as the flyer did, he would call it, he would say things like, they want to demonize those of us who believe our religious beliefs, or who believe the Bible, or who believe in biblical marriage. I mean, he was very much about talking about them being the victims.
Okay, I want to be real clear, because I've read the Bible in Hebrew, as opposed to the bad traits. Okay, biblical marriage, I love that one. There are three ways to get married in the Bible. One of them is not to go to your county clerk, get a marriage license. Go to your priest or rabbi, have them marry you. That's not one of the biblical ways to get married. As far as I know, it's the only way to get married now. So marriage has changed. There are three ways. Do you know what they are? Okay, first of all, you could buy your wife. And when I say purchaser, Patty would be worth, a camel and two goats. If Patty's worth a camel and two goats, Karen certainly would be two camels, three sheep, and those goats.
My mom was offered way more than that. We lived in Libya. We actually got one of those propositions. And
how much were they going to pay for you?
Lots of camels and lots of sheep.
See? Inflation.
Yeah.
Back in biblical times, one camel would be... Okay, that's number one. Number two is, if your husband dies, his brother inherits you, and you are then married to the brother, who is either glad for the extra help that he has around the house, or annoyed about the extra mouths to feed. Depends on the circumstances, but it was his responsibility to take care. Third one is, if you're a man and you rape a woman and you keep her, you're married. That's biblical marriage. So I just want to be clear what you're talking about when you're talking about biblical marriage. It's not pretty.
Well, I've spent a lot of time in church in my lifetime, and I've heard a lot of preachers preach. And I can honestly say that this sermon, I heard less about God and Jesus than I've ever heard in any sermon in my life.
So
when
true.
He did, it seemed as though he'd been emailed a series of PowerPoint slides by the Family Research Council and just riffed on each one of them. His main point and the main meat of the sermon was he was quoting from a piece that Marshall Kirk and Erasmus Pill wrote in 1987 called Overhauling Straight America, and it was about tactics for moving LGBT people forward. And tactics which largely have worked, but one of the things he hit on the most was about how we were going to try to make ourselves be persecuted, which is exactly what he was doing. So, and the fact that that was not clear to the people, I can't imagine that that wasn't clear to the people in that congregation. I can't imagine that it wasn't. But again, the flyer. The flyer is the problem. The flyer hurt people. You talked about my friends. I actually had the pleasure of officiating at their wedding. And I just talked to her on the phone. She left the service because she couldn't take it anymore. And she said, I felt like when we got married, we weren't going to have to deal with this stuff anymore. And my heart is broken. He hurt people by sending that. He showed a list of all of the sins and said, this is just one of them. Homosexuality is just one of them. And also adultery and drunkenness were on there. And I thought, why didn't you send out a flyer for the first time in the history of your church saying, I'm going to preach about drunken adultery?
Or even jealousy and greed were two of them. Those are two of my favorites. Like, because, no people and they go to church ever are jealous or greedy, right? Like, never, ever, ever. I think that tag on to the point of the postcard hurting and like David said in the beginning, none of us, and I don't know anybody anywhere who would say that we have a problem with people having their religious beliefs and espousing those and preaching those in their own churches. But when the message is that we, the gay people, are coming after them, the people who think like they do, then that's something totally different than just saying, we think being gay is sinful. We think gay marriage is bad. Those are our religious beliefs. Fine. That's a message that doesn't seek to harm other people or seek to make other people afraid of us. But when you say, you know, we are coming after them, we don't want them to have their religious liberty. We don't want them to be able to support traditional marriage. I mean, that's a scary message, because then that is making other people fearful of us and making some other people hate us. And that's been, you know, through the whole same-sex marriage or marriage equality debate, it's driven me crazy when people who throw things out, it goes unchallenged. Like when they say they're defending traditional marriage, but no one ever says, well, explain to me how it hurts your marriage if two gay people get married. I'm all ears. Tell me.
Right. Okay. But just to get back up on what Steve said, you know, it hurts other people. Well, it also, it hurts ourselves. Now, I don't know if there's any openly gay people within this congregation that you went to.
Yes.
Openly members there. But we know there's gay people in there. And when they hear this.
Absolutely.
And when they hear this stuff, this is what causes incredible depression within our own communities. No self-acceptance. This doesn't help.
Okay. I got an explanation of exactly what you were saying, Steve. I was talking to the Southern Poverty Law Center this week. They take reports of hate incidents, not hate crimes. That's an FBI thing. Hate incidents. And they're looking into this one, because this, not what's was said in church, but the flyer and the possible backlash against gay people in the community, LGBT people in the community, that's being looked into. So I was talking to somebody at the Southern Poverty Law Center, and I basically asked the same thing. Why are they so adamant? What are these rights they think that have been taken away from them? And he gave me one sentence that explains it better than I've ever heard it before. He said, we don't respect Christianity's condemnation of LGBT people. We're not respecting their right to discriminate, is basically what it is. And they feel that they have that as a right, that if they're right and what they believe is right, then they have a right to do whatever they want to people who don't believe what they believe.
His sermon was, he went back and forth between, I love you, you're wrong. I love you, you're wrong. I think you have the right to believe as you want to. I don't really know. This is my opinion, but you're wrong. He started out the sermon, he put up a slide, and he said, now, this is the these are the four categories that LGBT people break down into. And 95% of them are in category one, which is peaceful. The other three categories were clueless, deceived, and militant.
Yeah.
So, and then he started putting out quotes from people who weren't even gay, and one from Hillary Clinton that he then said was about abortion, but it's the same thing. I mean, every point he drew was so thin.
And we're talking about a sermon that was given this morning at Gateway Church in Midlothian. Obviously, Karen would come under the militant.
Yeah, I think we all classify as militant.
Classified as feeling really sick.
Patty and I would be clueless. Laurent is just peaceful.
No, he said the peaceful gays. And you could say gateway church too, you know, kind of gateway. You know, but the peaceful ones, he said, you know, 95% of the gays are just, you know, happy for us to say our point of view and express our beliefs, and they're just fine with that because they recognize that we have that right. And then there are those who are deceived. And he said the deceived gays believe they're going to heaven, that they believe they're a Christian and they're going to heaven. Not who the hell are you? Who the hell are you? This reminds me so much of the Church of Latter-day Saints, the Mormons, years ago, who were busted publicly for trying to, you know, the Mormons are really responsible for things like Ancestry.com, because they chase their ancestors and information about them because they think that they can still save them. They can get them into heaven by following a ritual, no matter if it's been hundreds of years or not. And they took it upon themselves to do this to Jewish people. They were going to get Jewish people into heaven. heaven.
Who were killed in the Holocaust.
Who were killed in the Holocaust. Exactly. And it's so incredibly offensive.
It really is.
To step into someone else's religious beliefs and decide that they're wrong and you're right. And, you know, when Christians proselytize, and I was raised a Southern Baptist, went to Baylor, as did Steve. You know, I mean, we're told to proselytize, but to have zero respect for the religious beliefs of those around you, which is what this postcard did, it stomped all over them. I just find it so incredibly basically offensive. It's fundamentally offensive.
And you know when messaging is saying we are being victimized, when someone on the other side of this debate from our side, this minister or whoever, when they're saying we're being victimized, these people are doing this to us, these people are coming after our religious beliefs, our religious freedom, our religious liberty, however they spin it, those are really strong and powerful words that become really scary words in the hands and the actions of the wrong people. And while most of the people sitting in that congregation today, I don't think, are crazies that are going to go out and commit a gay bashing or a hate crime, I don't think that. I hope, certainly hope not. But we all know that this kind of messaging feeds into things like hate crimes mm-hmm. and gay bashings and murders. Because when you're saying these people are taking away what's most important to us, our very basic core religious freedom, is what these gay people are taking away.
Right, and that was the thing that made me actually get up early on a Sunday morning and go down to that church, is thinking about an LGBT teenager who's struggling with talking to their family, seeing that flyer on the kitchen counter, yep. or seeing parents who are struggling with trying to figure out how to connect with their children, suddenly being informed that gay people have an agenda and are at war with Christianity. And worst of all, is exactly what Steve was talking about, is the people who received that flyer, who have nothing to do with that congregation, who will use those words as fuel to the fire that they have to act on their lesser natures and commit violence against us. The irresponsibility of the flyer is the whole reason I went down there. I don't really care what this man has to say other than that. I support his right to his beliefs.
Mm-hmm. Right. Why don't we take our break? You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with Lauren Landis and the late Patty Fink. We are talking to Karen McCrocklin and Steve Atkinson. They were down at Gateway Church in Midlothian today to listen to the sermon on the war on Christianity. And we'll talk more about that war. I know Lauren's arsenal has been built up. Josh certainly has been collecting Uzis. He's been getting a big stack of them. And this war is very serious, isn't it, Patty? Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. Well, we'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
This is Rollins Gellin, and I'm listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3, and darn glad to be doing it.
And this is Lambda. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with Lauren Landis and the late Patty Fink. We're talking about a sermon that went on this morning at Gateway Church in Midlothian. And one thing we do really want to be clear, what they say in their church, that's fine. It's sending out flyers to the entire community, targeting gays and lesbians who live in Midlothian, targeting their neighbors, and making the neighbors think, oh, there's something wrong with my neighbor down the street. Oh, I can't treat them the way I've been treating them because they are they're fighting a war against us. What is that you had, Karen? A flyer you picked?
I made some little cards before we went. And I have to say that when we went in, everyone in the church, I guess, had collectively decided in advance to be extremely friendly. They were offering us coffee. They were making coffee for us. And there were quite a few of us there. And there was also a group of about a dozen people from the LGBT atheists who also went. And there were also people outside protesting across the street. But I think that those were street people from other Christian churches. And they were, because they were singing hymns. So, but the point is, we went in. They were super, super nice. And so I had made up in advance this little flyer. And on one side it says the LGBT agenda. And it has a big heart with the rainbow flag on it. And on the other side, it says, we are not at war with Christianity. Many of us are Christians. Our agenda is simply to be productive and kind members of our collective community. You are our neighbors. We send you love. Now, I wrote my own notes on the bottom of several of them during the service to hand out later. But the point is, we wanted them to know that in advance, and they were fine with that. But I challenge any person in that church to sit through 15 minutes, no less than 2 hours that we sat there, of me talking about them. They couldn't. I don't think they can't imagine what that felt like.
Did the Xanax wear off, Karen, before the service was over?
Huh?
Your Xanax wore off before the service was over?
Yeah, it did. Well, it did when he kept saying, "That's my question," and I finally just couldn't take it anymore, and I said, "Do you want an answer?" And he said, "No." And Steve poked me, so I stopped talking.
During the break, we were just talking off air. Steve, the word war on Christianity. There's a difference between having opposing opinions and opposing ideas and having different beliefs and a war, the war on Christmas, the war on Christianity. What comes to your mind when you're thinking about a war on Christianity?
Well, I think it's very inflammatory, especially to, some people who have the tendency to be scary and violent. And sadly, there's plenty of that in our society, and no group is immune to that, and no minority group is immune to that, and it's been true throughout the history of our country. And when you call it a war, and when you say it's a war on this thing that many people hold as one of their deepest, most important things in their life, their religious beliefs, their relationship with God, however they define that, and you say this is a group of people that is at war with us about this, that is serious, scary business. And it's obviously false, and it's a made-up issue and problem that we all know that that doesn't exist. There's no gay people that are organized to take away anyone's religious liberty, and then I know that are stupid enough to think that could be done in this country anyway.
Right.
Why would anybody want to?
Right.
Steve Sprinkle had this to say. Steve's been a guest of ours a number of times. He's a professor over at...
Reverend Dr. Steve Sprinkle. As I say, Reb Durr. He's a Reb Durr.
Anyway, Steve said, Christian congregations date back to 1948 with a church in Atlanta. Today there are more than 5,000 congregations that are open and welcoming. And he said, that doesn't sound like a war to me.
It was interesting because he posted one of the points that he was bringing up from this paper from 1987 about how the war on straight, that homosexuals were waging tactics that we've used. But one of the points was, to good effect, because we've created more understanding and love in the world, but one of the points was, in any campaign to win over the public, gays must be cast as victims in need of protection so that straights will be inclined by reflex to assume the role of protector. Straight viewers must be able to identify with gays as victims. And I will submit to you now that that is exactly what he was doing. He was casting himself as a victim. He was doing exactly what this outlines, except in the reverse. And that's what they're doing, I think. I really, attendance in Christian churches is on the steep decline in America. And this is a way to get butts in seats.
Actually, since the election, mainstream churches are calling this the Trump bump. There's been a noticeable increase in people going to church, but at mainstream liberal congregations. Isn't that interesting?
Right.
At one point you said that this sermon was not like the one at Fort Worth last summer, where they were basically celebrating what happened in at the Pulse nightclub. But I'm curious, did he say anything? He's making us out to, saying all these bad things about us and putting us in the same categories as liars and cheaters and so forth. Did he have any advice for what we should do with ourselves?
No, and that was the most fascinating thing to me, like I said in the beginning, was that he was reading these talking points, but every time he'd say one, he'd go back and say, but this is just my opinion. And he'd make some offensive point, and he'd say, but I support your right to believe everything, but anything that you want to believe. And never in it did he give God's word as the solution to any of this. In fact, he didn't even talk about this.
No, he didn't.
This was a political speech.
It was.
And
it was,
this is, in addition to the flyer, my second biggest objection to this is that this was a political speech in a church that does not pay taxes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's exactly what it was. Totally. And, you know, I said to Karen, one of the first things I said to her when we got in the car to head away after the church service, I said, you know, I think one of the things I would like to say to him if we would have gotten the chance to speak to him before we left is, I don't believe you really believe what you just stood there and said. I really don't believe that you honestly think that people like us are any threat to you or your church or your religious beliefs at all, or your marriage, or I don't believe that you people even really believe this yourselves, because you would have to be pretty stupid to believe it. I think it is, like Karen said, it's a way for them to, you know, to fundraise, to get people in the seats, to get people all ginned up, riled up, mad, to support certain political candidates, so they can use it for a lot of different things. But I don't believe most of them even truly believe it, because it's so insane.
They absolutely don't. There was a point in the beginning of the service where they take a long time for everyone to walk around and to shake hands and say hello. And so some of them were extremely anxious to come to shake my hand, and as they tried to shake my hand, then I would say, oh, I'm a hugger, and give them a hug, and it was fine. It was like me being anywhere, and I would do that, not just in that church. That's the way I would behave in any group that had that sort of time. But the point of the whole thing is that this is absolutely not what they believe. This church has never sent flyers before, ever, like this, to the entire city. It was just a ploy for fundraising. It was a political speech, and it had nothing to do with God or what they believe. And that makes me sad for them. If they don't have the courage of their convictions to talk about their beliefs, and instead what they're going to do is stand up and quote a 30-year-old document about my agenda, you know,
in my life,
I will stand up right now and defend anyone who has courage of convictions. But they don't. That man had none.
Mm-hmm. Well, he seemed kind of early on, he seemed to be very offended by the idea that he would be a hate monger by his speech. And granted, in the UK and in Canada, hate speech is considered a crime. But we would never have that in the United States. We have freedom of speech in this country that the government would never impose. You can't do things like yell fire in a crowded theater. I mean, there's some reasonable limitations to that concept, but for a person to stand in their church and say their beliefs, that's fine, and they could step on the steps of their church and say that. But it doesn't mean that he can't be recognized for the hate that he's doing. I mean, to call him a hate monger, if this had been the church of the KKK, of the Ku Klux Klan, sending out a flyer to everyone who lives in Midlothian saying that the blacks were warring on white Christians, and he's not going to be called, you know, and yet, don't call me a hate monger. Don't call me a hate monger. And it riles people up along racial lines and puts butts in the seats in his church and fills his collection plate. You know, what has he accomplished here?
If I could have stood up and yelled one thing in the entire service, this is what I would have said. At one point, he started to cry and said, I don't hate you. I love you. And what I would have stood up and said was, you hurt my children. You hurt my friends. That is not love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And again, it wasn't what he said in church. The damage had already been done with his flyer.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I have to pick on something. You said it's not so much what we did, what he said in church. Sometimes it is what you say in church. That can still hurt. And that leads me to another.
And I was going to say, as long as you're keeping it within the walls and none of the hate, none of the suspicion, none of the mistrust that you're causing, mm-hmm. goes outside the church walls, I don't care about it.
Yeah, well.
But the damage had already been done just with this flyer.
Absolutely. Well, it just made me think of another item that's church-related in the news this past week, actually past 2 weeks, and that's Kim Burrell. Mm-hmm. many people, I know I personally had never heard of her prior to this, but she's pretty well known in the gospel realm.
And just as we hadn't heard of Gateway Church either.
Hadn't heard of Gateway Church either. And this, you know, like David and I were talking about before, we kind of even hate to discuss this because it kind of gives these people a platform. But it still needs to be discussed. But Kim Burrell, again, she is a gospel singer, well-known in that circle, was supposed to be on Ellen's show this past week to do a duet with well-known singer Pharrell, but was pulled when a video was released of what a very anti-gay sermon that she had preached and
that used really graphic,
really graphic. You know, and you know, I was telling David, you know, it's one thing, you know, we've already said 20 times on the show already, okay, fine, you have the right to say what you want to say in your own congregation, but I have to say, had I gone to her particular sermon and heard what I heard in front of my child, I probably would have lost it. I know I definitely would have walked out. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, I think you're in the same line as cheaters and, you know, that, but, you know, here's one of, this is a quote from her. You as a man, you open your mouth and take another man's penis in your face, you're perverted. You as a woman, you will shake your face and another woman's breast, you are perverted. Okay, that's not necessary. That's gone way past what needs to be said to get your point across.
Oh, okay, but again, she said these things in her church.
She said these things in her church. She did.
But the question that we were wondering was, she was scheduled to go on Ellen.
Why did you want to go on Ellen in the first place?
That's, yeah, clueless.
Now, Ellen has already said, When the booking was made, she didn't even know who Kim Burrell was. Now, of course, as soon as she found out, she cut that. Yeah, but why did Kim Burrell want to go on her show? Mm-hmm. I mean, Ellen is like arguably the most famous lesbian on the planet. Mm-hmm. You can't not know that she's
right.
And the whole thing, I mean, actually the whole thing about people in the media came into this sermon as well. Because at one point, he was talking about the poor heterosexuals who've been persecuted by LGBT people and made to make their wedding cakes, and how LGBT people, and he put up a picture of them and said, have persecuted poor Chip and Joanna Gaines from Fixer Upper. Well, okay, first of all, Chip and Joanna Gaines can worship any way they want to. They're decorators on television. I don't care. That's fine. There was a big thing before with BuzzFeed asking them what they believe, but Chip Gaines put out a statement a couple of days ago about how we love everyone, whether no matter their sexual orientation and all that, or no matter what, and we're not going to get drawn into this conversation. Yeah. So here's the thing about that. While I wish they had said something more proactive, okay, that's fine. It's the same thing as this church. I don't have a problem with what you personally believe. Just do not persecute us and put our vulnerable at risk.
And there's so much sad irony to the fact that, you know, we have this all this talk going on. You know, there's a bill filed in Texas, as we all know, about, you know, the religious, you know, freedom bills and all this, you know, crap about how we have to pass legislation to protect our religious beliefs and to basically give us a right to discriminate against, you know, LGBT people, which we know is really the goal with those measures. And, you know, it's there's a lot of sad irony to the fact that in Texas and in most states, we still don't have workplace protections for LGBT people. And we all know that the list is infinitely long of people who have lost jobs, not been able to rent a home, you know, et cetera, because of their sexual orientation. So that is still the case. We still don't, most people in this country still don't live where they have protections against that kind of discrimination based on their sexual orientation or gender identity. But we have people like this saying they're the victims in this big picture. They're the ones whose liberties are being taken away. It's fine that gay people can be fired from their jobs, but,
you know, and going back to what you were saying, Karen, one of the first things I did when we ordered our wedding cake, our cake baker came to our house, and the first thing I said was, I do want to make sure that we're not infringing upon your rights by giving you $700 for this damn cake.
Exactly.
We're really happy to take your money, right?
And he was delighted to bake it. It was the largest cake he'd ever baked before, and we did not infringe on his rights, thankfully, because I'd hate to do that.
And I wonder, how is it not infringing on the rights of my friends when you use money from your church to send a flyer through the U.S. Postal Service into their home? that's a little bit more aggressive than anything I think anybody, anything that he quoted in the sermon about how we're somehow persecuting and in a war with Christians.
I don't understand what they're, who are the casualties at all.
Right.
You know, or who are the casualties in this war on their side? You know, if there are two sides to this in terms of battles, you know, who's going down on the battlefield on their side? It's not these cake bakers and such. These are grandstanding, and we haven't even touched the issue of businesses, commercial businesses in the public marketplace versus someone's personal religious beliefs.
Yeah, that it goes back to the thing I said, I think, when we were talking before we went on the air, where it's driven me crazy throughout the entire discourse on marriage equality, that the other side of that issue can just make these blanket statements that go unchecked by media, by journalists, by most people, and they just say, oh, well, we're protecting traditional marriage, or we're defending traditional marriage, and no one ever says, well, explain to me how the gay people getting married hurts your marriage or anyone else's heterosexual marriage. And if that question is asked, it can't be answered. There is no answer for that. And
anyone who
would try to give an answer to that would look like a fool, because right. There is no answer to that. Your straight marriage is not going to be hurt by someone's gay marriage, ever.
One of the slides he put up at the very end of the sermon was, the government is giving preferred status to the cultural view of marriage and sexuality. Okay, hello?
Preferred status.
Because
preferred
it's a democracy preferred and we status. Have laws.
And who had preferred status before marriage equality?
Exactly.
Straight married people.
I mean, that was his best argument the whole time, in the whole entire sermon.
If it's the preferred status, so the Supreme Court Obergefell decision said that now it is preferable for gays and lesbians, or preferable for men to marry men and women to marry women, is that part of that ruling?
I don't remember reading it. It must be in there somewhere.
Right. And let's not talk about any of the preferred status that any of our court systems have given people with his beliefs about abortion or other issues.
Exactly. And this goes back to like SB6 that was filed this week and other things we've never seen before. We've had a non-discrimination ordinance in the city of Dallas for 15 years now with no issues. Trans people have been peeing in the city for 15 years with no issues, and now suddenly it's an issue. This is about this concept among, I think, many white working people and people who supported Trump. And Christians like this guy today who was preaching from the pulpit, that somehow equality means they lose
right.
something.
Right.
That equality for others means oppression for them, because they're losing something when other people get the same rights they've always had.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about the war on Christianity with Major Steve Atkinson and General Karen McCrocklin. I'm Dave Taffet. I'm here in the studio with LaRon Landis and the late Patty Fink. Josh is doing just a bang-up job on the board today. Thank you, Josh. Actually, Josh saved us last week when we were off the air. If anybody didn't hear, we did go off the air for a while. It was a phone line problem. If you'd like to hear all of last week's show, you can get it online. Go to our Facebook page with a direct link, or just look it up on YouTube. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about. It's on MySpace? Right. Okay. We'll be back with more Lambda Weekly right after this.
This is Jennifer Maddox with Jonathan's Place, and you're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON-FM.
And this is Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM. I'm Dave Taffet here in the studio with LaRon Landis and the late Patty Fink. Our guests are fighting the war on Christianity. Karen McCrocklin, Steve Atkinson, they just came back from a battle. Or church. You know, there was one other hate-related incident this week. Police are looking at it as a hate crime, or investigating it as a hate crime. And that was the Cathedral of Hope. Neil Cazares Thomas, who is their senior pastor, he was on KHBN on a talk show one day last week. That night, the church got hit with graffiti. We're not sure, and this is kind of what's ironic, we're not sure if it was anti-gay, because there was nothing that was written on the church that was anti-gay graffiti, other than kitty porn, K-I-T-T-Y porn, which might have been a reference to something. Yes, Laurent's looking at me.
Kitty porn?
Kitty porn, yeah. Everything on this was misspelled. A Chevy, C-H-I-V-Y. But nobody said you had to be smart to be a bigot. So it's pretty clear, because it's clear this is a church, it's clear that this is anti-Christian discrimination, hate crime. It's not clear it's anti-LGBT. Isn't that ironic?
Interesting. Right.
Absolutely.
So anyway, we think that the only connection might be that Neil was on this talk show, and then that night the church got hit. Is that what targeted or woke up in somebody's mind? Do I have to go hit that church? Was it just a random thing that somebody had something out? There was a name that was scrawled, and it's somebody from Louisiana who's in jail. You know, who knows? If somebody has a vendetta against somebody for some reason, who knows?
It's probably the same folks who are, you know, holding up signs at rallies saying, keep government out of my Medicare.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You never know.
Anyway, you know, that's just one more incident that if it was isolated, it would be a little bit scary. But it's not isolated. There's a lot of these kinds of things going on right now that is scary, that sending out this flyer by this church just adds to all the other stuff. So it's not the one flyer that we're...
Well, in addition to the flyer, I do want to go back to Kim Burrell. You know, when you frame it as that we are perverted, this is what is driving the bathroom bill, the so-called bathroom bills. We're perverts. You know, trans people are perverts, and people react in a negative way.
If you hear Dan Patrick speak, he says that he's not against transgender people at all. Mm. He's against people, men, because there's no protection for the boys' bathroom, for the men's bathroom. That's not even thought of.
It's not. You're right. Right.
It's just for women that men who are perverts would walk into a women's restroom and be perverted. And even though there are already laws against lewd conduct, all of that has been on the books forever. And that these non-discrimination ordinances that are in place and have been in place, for instance, in Dallas for 15 years, give them some sort of cover. It gives them some sort of immunity from being convicted, and says that they're perfectly fine to walk into a women's restroom and be perverted, to conduct lewdness. And it's the whole argument is just insane.
It is
insane.
He's
the first one who will tell you, oh, I love the trans people. But, you know, and they're not really the problem. It's because men will dress up as women. Other men will dress up as women, kind of idea, and go in and, you know, do lewd conduct.
Because that's where sexual assault so often happens, right? In public restrooms.
Right.
That's a problem always. Yeah.
Always,
right?
Always. And you're right, Patty. It's like these bills, specifically one in Texas, doesn't say anything about the men's restroom.
No.
But why is it so hard to look at facts? You know, I used to work for the courts, and overwhelmingly child predators or whatever are men. And so why aren't you concerned about the little boys who go into the men's restroom?
They don't care. It's not
in the
bill.
They don't care.
Not in the bill.
Looking at the facts went out the window about the same time we had an election.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much across the board. We're left to look for context clues. And I'm pretty good at reading them. I don't know about you. But they've learned to doublespeak, and they've been emboldened to say these kinds of things.
And the big lie.
Right.
Polls show overwhelmingly people dislike Obamacare, but overwhelmingly like the ACA, the Affordable Care Act.
Right. Yeah. And for the record, back to something Patty mentioned a minute ago, there were plenty of grammatical errors and misspellings on the slides. Plenty. Believe me, yeah.
Okay. I want to know...
We're not being judgmental.
No.
I want to know how, when you got up there on your third row seats, there became this, like, moat around you. Because there was certainly a moat between the stage and
would
the congregation.
But Patty, you're on this side of the board so that we don't have to be near them.
But did they pay?
I think it was planned. No. Here's what I think. I think they had the churches had a congregation-wide discussion about this in advance. A, they were all obviously aware of the fact that they needed to walk immediately to us and shake our hands when we came in the door. And when we all went into the sanctuary, it's divided in three sections, they were all sitting on either side. So we were on the third row, but there were two gay men that I don't know sitting on the very, very front row, holding in their laps a copy of that flyer. And then there were lots of people more in the back as well. So I think they were leaving the middle for us. But the interesting thing was, as soon as they came out, the people in the choir and the pastor could not look at us. Could not look at us. Head, if you look back on the tape, look to the right side, look to the left side, skip the middle.
He was doing the Marco Rubio thing a lot.
Yeah.
He's guzzling that water. Stop, get a glass of water. Sip of water.
One of the things I thought was really interesting, too, though, is some of the responses we've gotten from people in this discussion, like on Facebook, for example, about Christians wanting to distance themselves from this. Because he's talking about how there's a war on Christianity, and I actually think that other Christians are much more interested in marginalizing these kind of people than we are, because they give them such a bad reputation. One of my very best friends I grew up with is at a conference right now in Cincinnati where there are thousands of LGBT-affirming Christians. She's a mother. She gives mom hugs. That's her thing, to give mom hugs, because her daughter's a lesbian. And so those people have much more at stake with this kind of speech than we do, even, in some ways.
And one of the things that we haven't mentioned it, but I would love to mention it, and this sort of fed into us even wanting to go to this service today and hear what was said. When a group of us who are friends, and it included Karen and her wife and Patty and her wife and me and my husband, founded the group that we called I Am Done, and we had the protests of the evil or the very mean pastor in Fort Worth. The whole thing we wanted to accomplish with that, and still do, is that we want people to get the message that when hate speech is directed at us or any group of people, that we must, not just we, but those who care about decency and all people and equality and all of these things, we must stand up to it. We must. And for too long, I think too much of that has gone unchecked, and too much of it that's come from religious leaders, from ministers, has gone unchecked. And decent people need to stand up to this, because it leads to scary consequences way too often, like we've talked about. So that is something that I hope people that are listening to us will take as a challenge. I mean, when you need to stand up, do it, and call us. We'll help you. We'll get people together, and we'll do what we need to do.
And I think it's a challenge that has only swollen to an enormous need, given this new presidency that's going to happen in about 2 weeks, or begin in about 2 weeks. I find myself, I don't know about you guys, but I go on these like hiatuses from Facebook. I'm overwhelmed with things I need to be doing in my personal life, but I'm also overwhelmed by the enormity and the volume of things that we need to speak out against every day in the news. By the time 11 o'clock comes in the morning, I'm like, there's already like five things that I'm livid about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you just look at the front page of any major newspaper or online, I'm just click on it. I'm like, my God, it's all over the page.
Yeah.
And then by 2 o'clock, it's just, it's just gotten worse. And then, by the end of the night, it's just outrageous. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we got to speak out.
We do, and it's every issue that all of us care about. It's not just LGBT rights issues.
Right.
I said to Karen in the car on the way over here, and I know a lot of us feel this way. Like, I feel like every issue I give a darn about, every single one, is at a scary place, facing a scary future. Yeah. Everything. Yeah. I mean, women's rights, choice, the environment. I mean, on and on and on and on. Every list I give a darn about.
Go down the list of nominees. The environment. The EPA director is right now suing the EPA.
Wants to get rid of the EPA.
The education secretary. doesn't believe in public education. It's
the Attorney General nominee doesn't believe in the Voting Rights Act or the Civil Rights
Act.
Before the end of the hour, I do want to ask, you know, fortunately, we're starting to see some states make it illegal for reparative therapy programs for minors. So those are starting to fall, again, in some states. But still, we still have churches like the one you all went to today. What do you have to say, or could you offer some type of words to those who we know are present in these churches, especially young people who are closeted, haven't come to grips with it themselves, and they have to hear this kind of thing?
I would say seek support. And if you're young and you're in a situation where you're hearing hate messages directed at you, whether it's in your church or from whoever, from wherever it comes, seek support. Get a support system. And there are resources in the city. There's an LGBT youth program through the Resource Center of Dallas. It's phenomenal. But reach out and seek support. And we all want LGBT people to be able to come out and live openly and honestly. But if you are a teenager and that could present danger to your life, it's not the time to come out. But you do need to get support. You do need to get support.
I was talking to a Gay Straight Alliance over in one of the East Dallas high schools, and one girl said to me, "You know, I go to church every Sunday with my family, and people point at me and say, 'You're going to hell. What do I do?'" And so all I could say to her is, "When are you going to be 18? And she said, "In about a year and a half." And I said, "Then you don't have to go there anymore."
Right.
Unless you're going with your parents. I said, "In the meantime, if people are pointing their finger at you and saying you're going to hell, point your finger back. She was strong. She was just like exasperated is the reason I'm even saying it this way. I said, "Point your finger back and just say to them, 'How dare you condemn me? How dare you judge me?' And go on with your life, and those aren't your friends.
Right.
You're better than that."
Well, I think, too, we need to be telling these kids, and if you're out there listening, just know that you're not alone.
Right.
Steve and I grew up in this kind of an environment. And, I dare say, I don't know if it would have happened to me if I'd gone home in high school and come out. I don't think it would have, but I think it would have been, it is serious for many, many, many kids that they're going to experience violence in their own home from their own parents.
Mm-hmm.
Or kicked out. And that's a frightening thing for a kid who has no resources on their own. But just know that you're not alone.
And know that you're loved.
Right.
You are loved. And in our community, there are lots of resources, as Steve pointed out. But don't put yourself in danger. But just know that there's a place for you in the world.
And I love...
It's a place of dignity, of self-respect,
absolutely,
and authenticity.
I love that program that Dan Savage his husband started called It Gets Better.
It sounds
like a cliche, but it is true. And if you're having to live through that as a young LGBT person, it won't be that way forever, and it will get better. There will be a day when you don't have to live at home, when you don't have to attend a church you choose not to attend. It will get better, but get the support you need to help you now so that it's not as hard now while you have to be in that situation.
Reach out on social media. We're here. But the thing I'll say the most is that I grew up in that environment, too. And there's one thing I do want you to keep from the church environment, and that is this. The place that I learned to have compassion for others, to care about others, to spend a portion of my income to support things that are important to me was at church. Keep those things. And don't listen to the rest, sort of like what I did in algebra.
Great. Well, very well put, Gary.
And I didn't grow up in that kind of environment, but the things that you just said are the things that I've kept from my religious training. The reason I do this isn't because I'm this wild radical. I just like talking to people and hearing opinions and having discussions with people. I know, Patty, you too. It's not because you're this big radical and LeBron is. But,
of course.
But it's because we like having these kinds of discussions and reaching out to people like these kids who don't have anybody else to talk to about these things. But yeah, you're right, it does get better. And I love what you said about those are the lessons that you keep, you know, helping other people.
I'll support any church that preaches that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Karen, after all of that Xanax you had to take in order to get yourself to church today, thank you for being here. What I joked with Karen, she said, I don't know if I'm going to be coherent. I said, well, just come on the air and speak in tongues.
And we heard some of that today.
Yeah, I know you did.
Quite a bit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, welcome back, Karen. It's been a long time.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. I'm so incredibly grateful to y'all for continuing to do this show. Thank you.
Yeah. It's our pleasure.
For all of us, 7 a.m. on Wednesday mornings was not good.
No,
but we're past that.
Yes.
For all of us here at Lambda Weekly, is the next show here yet? We don't think so. Stick around because we're going to do our top of the hour and we might have a few more minutes to talk. For all of us here at Lambda Weekly, see you next week. Oh, and I do have one more little message from my friend in Venus. It was icy on my street. I didn't get down there and I will get down next week.